It's our turn to talk to Liam Horden in our Careers Corner. Liam from Slea Nua Careers is on the phone. Good afternoon, Liam.
Good afternoon, Stephen.
Now, thanks for taking our call. Now, we have a number of issues to deal with today, and there's one here, a query about an interview. Now, interviews are always a little bit daunting, but this person has a particular problem. And the query is this. I'm going for an interview next week. Job is with a retail outlet. Friend of mine already works there, and she says the boss can be very cranky. He was hostile in my interview, she says, and I bet he will be hostile in yours. He's hostile to everybody at interviews. And her question, Liam, is how should I handle him? Is that an unusual one, or does it come up regularly?
Well, people who do, who prepare for interviews find out things like this. They find out lots of things about the interview panel, about the company, and sometimes you'll hear, in fact, I know of a client doing an interview recently, and I was giving him the very same advice, to watch the main interviewer. He's likely to be, I wouldn't say quite cranky, but very demanding and quite sharp at times, okay? Yes, this kind of thing comes up, and it's good to know, without getting overly obsessed about it, but it's good to know what you're going into. And of course, equally, on the day, he may ring in sick, so you shouldn't fully put all your eggs in one basket either. First thing I'd say here is that one very important point has been clarified about this man in the question, and that is that he's hostile to everybody. It's indiscriminate hostility, you could say. So you needn't take it personally, if you know what I mean, that he's going to be the same with everybody, and one of those people is going to get the job, and it might well still be you. So the trick I would say is not to take it personally, which is a good trick in interviews anyway, not to fully ever take the bait if they come at you and put you too much on the spot, not to take it overly personally, because for some reason they're just trying to get to the heart of something as well, you know. And I think the second thing, which is very important for any interview, is to prepare properly, so that whether he's hostile or not, or whether everybody else in the panel is hostile or not, that you know going in there what you want to say. If you combine a kind of a fear of this man picking on you, so to speak, with not having your preparation done in terms of your examples in place, understanding what the job is about, and all of that, if you put those two things together, you'll be a nervous wreck on the day. So the best antidote, or the best preparation, is always preparation. And sports psychology is a good parallel for this. The best way of giving yourself a chance of kicking those frees in McHale, in Cole Park, is to kick them in your own local park first. So preparation is where it's all at for every candidate, particularly in a case like this, because it will settle you down. Third thing I would say is not to engage. Don't return fire. It takes two to tango. And there are ways of keeping your cool. And I think you should try and maintain your composure at all times. And maybe that's what he's looking for, to see how composed you are under pressure. But either way, I think it's a good advice anyway, not to lose your temper or not to be drawn in, because generally, when we lose our temper, we tend not to make great calls or great decisions, and we're better off retaining our composure. The final thing I would say in reply to this question is, if you have a friend in court who is telling you this much about the interview panel or the makeup of the main man on the interview panel, go back to that friend and ask them other, even more pertinent questions, such as, what are they actually looking for in the job? What are the key skills they're highlighting here? What's not in the job spec that they know to be true? Because that's often a case, that a job spec only contains so much, and there can be local kind of truths in a company as well. And so get all that information as well off that person, and put that contact to good use, because, as I said, there are lots of factors feed into an interview, and the more you can know about what's actually going on in the company, what they're looking for, etc., and the better chance you have of not being derailed by the hostile interviewer.
I presume at this stage, Liam, most interviewers, the employers or the prospective employers, would expect a candidate to have prepared by ginning up on the company.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's a must, really. I mean, it is a phrase I've used on the programme here once or twice before. An old HR colleague of mine who said in his office, when they were recruiting very seriously in the pharma industry, if you had to ask a candidate, what do you know about the company, they'd already lost the interview. So from the word go in an interview, you should be showing them what you know and how your skills apply to that company. The company are only really interested in you when you can bring something to them. So rather than hoping that they can see it, you should be telling them explicitly what you can bring to them. And by that I mean knowing things about the company and where your skills will sit in and fit in. And that's frequently overlooked by people. And often people do a lot of research and do the wrong research. You really need to look at what are they looking for, what examples have I got that'll meet that, and just go in there and talk about that.
Okay, I'm sure our listener will find that helpful. Now, the next query is regarding a CV, and I'm sure this will ring a bell with a lot of people. I haven't written a CV in 20 years, not since I left school. I understand that everything has changed since back then. For a start, I have 20 years of work underneath my belt now, not to mention 3 children and less hair. Plus, it is obvious that communications have undergone a revolution in the interim. Can you give me a few quick pointers for my CV? Now, that's a bit general there, Liam, but I think you know what they're getting at.
Yeah, and that is a regular scenario, as you said there. People who always got jobs or ran their own business, you know, got jobs very easily in the last number of years have been forced to go back into a kind of a self-promotion world. And a CV, although there are people who say the CV is dead or should be dead, the reality is it's not. It's still being used by most companies, by the major job sites. There probably will be a move in time away to something like LinkedIn, but right now the CV is hanging on a lot longer than a lot of people would have anticipated, including myself. I would have thought it would have been more under pressure at this stage. What I'd say to this candidate is, when he was in school, taking it as a he because he's talking about less hair, and men tend to be more self-deprecating about that than men, so or than women, but that's another generalisation, so please don't hold me to that one. he talks about learning it in school. In school, we were taught the school essay, which was the beginning, the middle, and the end, and you left the good stuff to the end. A CV is quite the opposite. A CV must now have early impact. Surveys show, and in fact, we're carrying out a major survey at the moment, and about 30 employers into the survey, we're finding that most employers spend no more than a minute on a CV, and there are some who say they spend a lot less. So get to the early information, the key information early on. The first half page of your CV must be crucial. So tidy off your contact details into a line or two. You don't need to write curriculum vitae across the top, it's self-explanatory. And write a personal profile or a career objective or a professional summary or something early on, about 150 words, right early on in your CV that summarizes what you have done, what skills you have, what you've achieved, and where you're going to next. And that where you're going to next must be what the employer is looking for. So it's kind of a general introduction to you. Secondly, I would say then he should do a section called Key Competencies, Achievements and Attributes. And this is about 6 bullet points elaborating on what was in the early part of the CV, in the first part I mentioned a moment ago. 6 bullet points with proof of what you have done, what skills you have, a bit more in-depth proof. So if you say, for example, excellent interpersonal skills, you need to couple that with a phrase along the lines of, as illustrated by the fact that I was captain of my football team, chairperson of my local drama group, or was chosen by my employers to lead a major review of the company's operations, bringing together 30 members of staff. Whatever you can find proof to flesh out what you write down there. So in some ways, for this candidate, going back to when they were in school, yes, people wrote in their CVs 20 years ago as well, excellent interpersonal skills, etc. The key difference now is there must be proof to back it up, and you can draw that from your work, your hobbies, your community involvement, all sorts of places. So about 6 key bullet points there gets the employer nodding their head, hopefully, saying, well, this is more of what I'm looking for. And again, always guide about what the employer is looking for. Don't tell them about skills that are not relevant to the employer. Focus primarily on stuff that the employer will find relevant. So that's why before you write your CV at all, you write down what are the things the employer is looking for, which will tend to be teamwork, communication, working under pressure, working alone, working as part of a group, certain IT skills, certain other hard skills that may be appropriate to your professional environment. I'm not sure what environment this person is working in.
Indeed. Finally, Liam, in terms of what you would put with the CV, would you put references with it, or would you simply list the referees on the CV?
I would list the referees on it. I think they're no burden to carry. They're never going to lose you a job by having them there unless there's somebody very bad on it. And in some cases, it'll make it easier for an employer to make a call and to find out exactly more about you. So, yes, I would put that in as well, too.
And any guide on how many pages, or does that depend on the type of job you're looking for?
would argue that going beyond two pages must be really well justified, and the survey I was telling you about that we're doing at the moment is suggesting two pages or less as well. Guided by Mark Twain, I wrote you a long letter because I hadn't time to write you a short one. Work hard at making it brief, to the point, impactful, rather than being a long ramble.
Okay, that's a good point on which to finish, Liam. Thank you very much for taking our call.
Thank you, Stephen.
And that was Liam Horan from Slea-Nua Careers giving us some good advice there on his, first of all, the interview skills and then how to prepare a CV.